The favorite foods that I like to eat, I love pizza. I wouldn't want to eat pizza every day, though, would you? And I like, I don't know. What else do I like real well, Deborah? Menudo, yeah. I could eat that every day, I think. I'm not sure. I like street tacos in Mexico. The thought is, you know, variety is a good thing. The Bible is full of blessings. In other words, there's so many passages that just tell us how good God is and what God's going to do and how much faith we could have in Him if we just would. And this is one of those blessing passages, and I'm going to be kind of brief because I don't want to take you past 8 o'clock, and it's already about almost a quarter till. But it's good to pray long, and let's do that often if we could. But this is one of those passages that just tells us about the goodness of God. And I think I'll break it up this week and next week, and we'll do it that way. But let me show you something that I see in Romans chapter 8 that jumps out at me. And there are two verses that you know probably by heart. One of them I think I'm sure you know. Romans 8:18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed within or revealed in us. Now stop and think about that a minute. What Paul's saying is, we know suffering, don't we? We know Mrs. Spencer suffering with cancer. We know some of us have suffered with illnesses. Brenda is ill sometimes. Mrs. Mendez and other, almost everybody here, I could look around and I can say, yep, I remember when you were sick. Yep, I remember when you were sick. I mean, we get that way. We know what physical suffering is. We know what it suffering is to lose a loved one. We know what suffering is to lose a friend, especially a lost friend. We know what suffering is to do without things that we might want. And that sometimes can be a form of suffering. And there are lots of ways we suffer. I suffer when I think of somebody that's not saved and won't get saved and won't get saved. And then they step into eternity and they never did find Christ. That hurts. But all the suffering you've ever had in your life, and I don't know who here has suffered the most, but whoever it is, you can't compare it. It doesn't compare. It doesn't hold a candle, we say, to the glory which shall be revealed in us. You think of however much suffering you've had in this life, it's nothing compared to what you have to look forward to. Nothing. Praise the Lord. Now, let me show you some words here that are kind of fun. He says, expectation in verse 19. Do you see that expectation? He says in verse 23 there in the middle of the verse, waiting for the adoption. He says at the end of verse 25, wait for it. He says in verse 29, God foreknew something and he predestinated. That's something that's going to happen in the future. There's a lot of anticipation in this chapter, and it's things you have to look forward to. But let me ask you, wouldn't you agree with me? We have things to look forward to tomorrow. You say, well, Pastor, Michelle's thinking, tomorrow I get to teach. How many you got now? 50? I don't know. 14 students tomorrow, and they all behave perfectly, don't they? They do. And they do their work, and they sit quietly, and they never, ever disobey or don't cooperate. And they're always perfect children. I know not. No, she's going to deal with some things tomorrow. But God's going to give her some blessings tomorrow, too. Mr. Dahlman's going to have dental surgery tomorrow. Not something I would look forward to. But God's going to give him some blessings tomorrow, too. God's good to us. We have things to look forward to in eternity. Wow. You can't imagine. You could sit down and you could think of all the wonderful things in eternity and start writing them down. There's no way you don't even know many of them. Can you imagine how it's going to be when we step into eternity, what we're going to see and what we're going to hear? And our body is going to be perfect. Amen, Brenda? And we're going to have, Mr. Minnemeyer and I are not going to have oldness anymore. We're going to be back to our youth. That's good. Oh, Brother Gonzalez, you need some of that too, I guess, huh? No nose problems in heaven, amen? Irene's back's going to be perfect. Everything is going to be wonderful. There's things to look forward to, but God's not making us wait until then. He's doing stuff for us day by day. Look for His blessings. Well, I'm glad we sang that song tonight. Count your many blessings. What a great place to start. Let me show you something here. Now, we suffer. He talks about that. He knows that in verse 18. We suffer. The flesh is the problem, actually. But anyway, we're waiting for this adoption and this redemption of our body. And that's what these first few verses are all about, down through verse 25. But folks, I got good news for you. There is good news in verse 21. He says, the creature shall be delivered. Amen? It's not going to last forever. You go to the doctor. Oh, I don't like going to the doctor. And they're going to draw blood. What is it about these guys and blood? Man, they like to draw blood. When I was in the hospital, they came in the first night, and she said, I'm going to draw 10 vials of blood. Oh, thank you. And then they came in later, and they drew some more blood, and they drew some more blood. And what do they say to you when they put the needle in? This will only hurt for a minute, right? It's going to hurt for a little bit. And that's right. After they get that thing in there and get it settled down, the pain goes away. Well, folks, I got good news for you. As far as eternity is concerned, it's only going to hurt for a little bit. And then it's going to be over forever. Because we're saved, amen? Aren't you glad you're saved? No, he says very plainly here. He says in verse 19, he says, we have this expectation. The creature, that's us, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him. And then in verse 21, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. When you think of a creature, just think he's talking about that physical aspect of us, our body. Right now, my back doesn't feel perfect. It feels a lot better than it did, but I could use another 10% or so. And other folks here that are suffering a little bit, it's all going to go away. Amen. Our worries, they're all going to go away. Or anything you can think of that causes you to suffer, there is a nice thick black line, and one day it's all going to be over. And between now and then, God takes care of us. Amen? All right, let's keep going. So he goes on. He says, already there are some things that we have. Look at verse 23. Oh, I got to start reading the verse before that. He says, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. Now watch this. This is good news. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. I like that statement. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. And let's just think about that for a minute. Do you remember when you got saved? And it's hard. I got saved so many years ago. I was in my early teens, so it's been over 50 years. And then I really made it sure a few years later, but it's been decades since I got saved. I have a hard time remembering what it used to be like. But I know what it's like now. And let me tell you some things. First of all, when you read the Bible and the Spirit of God dwells in you, it speaks to you. And it speaks to you clearly, sometimes very clearly. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Oh, wait a minute. I know the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Don't you have those in a different way than you used to before you got saved? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I missed a couple. But anyway, Galatians 5 talks about that. We already know the Spirit lives in us, don't we? We've already got that first fruit. Here, you know, in Arizona, we can talk about fruit a lot. We've got oranges and lemons, and oh, do we have lemons? And I just finished harvesting my tree, and you did too, if you had one probably. And so now here in a little bit, I'm going to see some blooms, and then come this fall, this summer, I'm going to see some little bitty fruit. But then all about next October and November, I'm going to start seeing lemons again. And there's going to be that first one, and there's going to be the ones later on. And before you know it, we have lemons coming out our ears, right? And what did we get this year? 40 cups of lemon juice or 50 or something like that off of one tree. And that's the same thing God's doing with us. He's already producing. He'll keep producing until we step into eternity. Amen? That's something to look forward to. So you got this expectation of the things in eternity and then the expectation of what God's going to do right now. And then look at verse 23 again. He says, not only they ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Look at verse 23, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And there again, it's that thought of God's going to change us. Look at verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope is that hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? Now, here's a thought. You say, I'm hoping for, I don't know, fill in the blank. I'm hoping for a successful surgery. I'm hoping for Mr. Dahlman's surgery to go well tomorrow. I'm hoping for Mike in Maine to have his neck taken care of and to live a many more years of life. And we can hope for things that we don't know about yet, but what about the things that God's already done? Have you stopped to think about that? That's why we started with testimonies tonight. Folks, God's done good things. We have a God. If you understand the whole perspective here, he's kind of looking forward. And I'm trying to get myself down to verse 28, and I'm going to stop. But we look forward to some things. We look forward to some things. We have a God that is our hope. And the best hope of all. Somebody says, I hope my money holds out. Bad hope. I hope my health holds out. I do too, but don't trust in your health. Don't trust in your money. I hope my job lasts. Don't trust in your job. You hear about somebody going through a trial. A lot of the times our trials are just there to point us to God. I hope in God. He, the Lord, his hope is in the Lord, his God. That's where our hope is. And folks, I just want to say this. I hope you believe me. When you got your hope in God, things are going to be just fine. Amen. Amen? He may not do what you expect or what you were calling on, but he may do something even better. Or you may be like Paul, and he may allow a thorn in the flesh to stay to keep you from something worse. But whatever God does what's best. Amen. We have a reason to hope. Amen? All right, I got 6 minutes. We got to get down to verse 28. We don't want to miss that. Verse 26. We talked about anticipation, the things we look forward to. Now there is assistance beginning in verse 26, and I want to get down to verse 28 and stop. But he says in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Big sentence, a lot of thoughts there. Let's just try to simplify it a little bit, understand something. We don't always know how to pray, but the Spirit does. When we pray, that's good, but the Spirit prays as well. That's interesting. And it says, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Somebody told me one time, see, that's an unknown tongue. No, it says you can't utter it, so it's not a tongue, is it? The Spirit is doing things for you and I that we don't even understand, isn't it? And that's good enough for me. But let's keep going. He says in verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. That's the Spirit of God, by the way. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I don't know how to explain that without being real simplistic and just saying God knows. And even when we don't know how to pray, somehow he does. He takes, like was mentioned tonight, he knows our needs even before we ask, but he still asks us to ask. But a lot of the time, I don't know what to pray for, but God does. Isn't it nice to know that you haven't got to know everything? You haven't got to keep track of everything. You haven't got to solve everything. I love to keep records. Mr. Mendez will tell you I'm a record keeper. I got notes on top of notes on top of notes. I got a phone call. Was it Monday? Yeah, Monday or late last week, the pastor in Maryland was having a, I use the word dispute, that's a strong word, but he was having a little disagreement with the homeowners association. There's a HOA that owns all the houses around the church, and there's this trail that runs, and my wife knows all about this trail. It runs between the church and the HOA property, and some trees have fallen across that trail and blocked it. And the HOA called the church and said, hey, you guys need to clean that trail up. It's your trail. And he called me and he said, is that our trail? And I scrounged around on an old disk drive I had and I found a drawing, a county drawing of that property. And it's not the church's trail. It's the HOA's trail. And I told him, I said, I got the drawing right here. I'll email it to you. And I hadn't even looked at that silly thing for, I'm sure, 10 years. So anyway, records. But you know what? You can try as hard as you want. You can't keep track of it as good as God can. That's right. I don't know what all needs to be done, But maybe instead of me trying to keep records and trust my records, I should trust God. Amen? That doesn't mean not to keep records, but God can take care of things better than we can. He knows what we need even when we don't know what we need. And sometimes you might acknowledge that when he does things you didn't expect, it's because he knows better than we do. Amen? All right, I got to get to this verse. I got 4 minutes. Here we go. It says, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things. What does that mean? All means all. That's all means, Don Jasmine said. All things. Things is a very comprehensive word. What are you doing? What you got there? Awesome things. Things. Everything, you know. Buildings, people, situations, things. All things, God says, work for good. I do not know why. I do not know how to explain it. Mrs. Cancer Spencer somehow is going to work for good. I don't know how to explain it, but our suffering will work for good. Everything that God does works for good. And then just don't forget the criteria there. There's two things you need to apply yourself to. Folks, we ought to love God. Amen? And I think if you're saved, you will love God. Maybe some more than others, I'm sure. But still, loving God, that's being saved. And then being called according to his purpose. Don't forget this. When you got saved, you are called. And God's got a purpose in your life, doesn't he? And whatever you got when you got saved, you got a purpose from God. He's got a purpose in your life. It's better than the purpose you would have picked. I hope Carlos teaches our young people that tonight. God's purpose is better than their purpose. You know, the young people, they want something. They want a job, or they want a boyfriend, or they want a, I don't know, house or a car or whatever. And that becomes their purpose. Those are really shallow purposes. God's got bigger purposes. Amen. He's got purposes to be glorified in us. Amen? Okay, so you believe all that? Let's just summarize it and we'll be done. We have some expectations in verse 19. We're waiting for some things, but we shall be delivered, verse 21. We have some things that we hope for. We're anticipating these things, but when we hope in God, we're hoping in the right place. And then we have some infirmities, but the Holy Spirit knows what they are, and he meets those needs. He doesn't even need to know. If we know, he knows. And then all things that he does work together for good. And let's just stop right there for the moment for us. Amen? Like I said, we got it good.